I would like to read with you tonight two verses that are found in 2 Kings chapter 4. I'm reading verses 25 and 26 of 2 Kings chapter 4. Second Kings 4 and verse 25. So she went and came to the man of God to Mount Carmel. And it came to pass when the man of God saw her afar off that he said to Gehazi his servant, Behold, yonder is that Shunammite. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her, and say unto her, Is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? And she answered, It is well. There are many Christians in this company tonight. We need your prayers. We need you to pray even as the meeting goes on. I think you're all aware of that. The gospel we're preaching tonight is the message we have preached for years. We thank God for the simplicity of it. We need the power and the presence of God to bless it to hearts. I have before me tonight a very plain and simple subject. I want to speak to you about the welfare of the soul. There's hardly a day goes by that you are not asked the question, How are you? If you had asked me that question tonight, I would say, I'm fine. And I thank God that I am fine. There are people who answer that question in that way because it's automatic. Have you ever said to such a person, Are you? Are you really fine? Are you really well? What I have to speak to you about tonight is something far more serious. The welfare of the soul. I have a simple parable to tell you. It's a modern parable. Of a babysitter left with a little child in the home. Can you picture the mother returning to that home after having been absent for some time? And the babysitter has the child's food all properly prepared and ready for the child to eat. And the clothes are all carefully laundered and folded and very neatly put away. And the child's toys are all there in order. And the mother says, But where is the child? Where is the child? You can hardly imagine anything more strange than to care for those things that were linked to the child and neglect the child completely. I think perhaps you can see the point of that simple parable. Friend, you are not a body that has a soul. I want to tell you very simply tonight that you are a soul. You are a soul that has a body. A priceless, precious soul. And I want to speak to you tonight about this question, the welfare of the soul. Is it well with thee? There's a personal God in heaven. He's not some abstract idea. He's a God who has personality in himself. I think you know that nothing comes from nothing. I think you're well aware tonight that you are a person, that you have personality. It has come from a personal God. The question really is not what is a soul. I'm certain that many an unbeliever has asked that question and been unable to find an answer. The question is not what is a soul. The question is who is a soul? You are, my friend, each one of you in this company tonight, a precious, precious soul. The value of it more than all the world beside. Who could ever begin to estimate the worth of one such precious soul? Not long ago in the state of Ohio, five young men were driving along the highway very late at night. They were coming back from interviews in the eastern United States. They were on the Ohio Turnpike. Four of the young men must have been asleep. The driver alone awake. He fell asleep at the wheel of the car.
A truck had pulled off the road for repairs. And that vehicle with those five young men in it smashed into that truck. And when they tried to pull what was left out of the wreckage, not one was alive. The headline in the paper said, 100 years of education, blotted out in a moment. For they were five young medical doctors, just newly graduated from the University of Chicago. 100 years of education, gone in a moment. Is that the way you would have looked at it? Ah, no, friend. Not 100 years of education gone. Five priceless, precious souls. And tonight in this meeting, there are souls here. Some of you have been the objects of the prayers and the tears of those who love you. They love your soul. They long for your welfare. They long for your well-being. There's much in this world that is fake. There's much that's fraud. And even in religion, there is much that would make you think that religion is only a farce. But you know, there's a great reality here tonight. For in this company are many Christians. And my friend, they have the deepest interest in your welfare. Not that they might get something from you. Not that they're desiring that you should do something for them. But they just have the deepest concern for your soul and the welfare of it. And so we say to you with tenderness tonight, we ask in love, is it well? Is it well with your soul? I think you know that values are relative. I have to explain myself. What do I mean when I say values are relative? Well, what we value in this world depends on how we look at it. There's a little piece of paper. It's less than an inch square. It's magenta in color. And at the present time, it is estimated to be worth over $300,000. What is it? I understand it's a one penny postage stamp from British Guiana. Now who put that value on that piece of paper? Does it really have that value? Certainly not. That's an artificial value. That's a value placed on it by collectors. And I'm not here to question whether they think it's that much value or not. But friends, you can understand what I mean about a value being relative. They have placed that value upon it. That little piece of paper really does not have that worth. I wonder, are there not many things like that in the world today? Men have put values on them, but they're artificial values. Is it because we have so few real values that we make so many artificial ones? But I want to speak to you tonight about something that has real value. God has made you a living soul. And we long that that soul of yours might be trusted to Christ, that you might come to know the Savior as your own Savior, and that precious soul of yours be saved for all eternity. I think of values. I think not only of the preciousness of the soul, but I think of the poverty of the soul. The Lord Jesus said, a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And I'm afraid that's the tragedy of our day. I can speak to you very clearly and plainly about this because we all understand this principle. I saw a newspaper heading in a large city not too long ago. And the heading attracted me. And I certainly had to read the article. Because the heading said, expect the good life by the year 2000. Why did I read the article? I was very interested to know how they would describe the good life. What really is this good life that so many people are so anxious to have? I can tell you that as I read the article, I was impressed with the fact that the good life is supposed to be when you have all the things you want. In other words, the principle is the more you have, the happier you'll be. Is that true? Is that a reality? I think you know it isn't. There are mansions in this country today. There are country estates. There are penthouses today where wealth is seen everywhere, where everything that a heart could desire is available. And in those places, there's emptiness. There's coldness. There's misery. And often there's despair. I have been in a one-room cottage. I have found an elderly man and his wife with hardly the necessity for daily food. I found their hearts filled with joy and their lives filled with meaning and the future before them bright and glorious. It isn't having. It isn't the things that you possess. The Lord Jesus knew that so well. A man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. And the tragedy is this. You know, the great conflicts of our day revolve around this subject of the haves and the have-nots. Is that not true now? In this day of such technological advance, when we have so many so-called conveniences, when we are blessed with so many possessions, surely you would expect that contented people would be everywhere, that man would be so much happier, that satisfaction would fill their hearts, and that we would find people with peace. Not at all. It isn't true. Sad to say, friend, it is not true. Why is it not true? Because that soul of yours is for eternity. Because, friend, that soul of yours was never made for time alone. And the things of time will not satisfy it. And the things of this world will not fill your heart. And will not give you true satisfaction. And will not give you peace and lasting joy. And I say to you tonight, the poverty of souls is this. That they have everything, and yet have nothing. And the very passage from which I quoted in Luke 12, the words of the Lord Jesus, a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. The Savior goes on to tell about a man who had everything but his soul's salvation. Friend, what do you have tonight? Do you have Christ? I'm not asking you if you have religion. I'm not asking you if you've lived a good life. I'm not asking you if you say your prayers and go to your church. But I'm asking you tonight, do you have Christ? You could be the wealthiest man in Toronto tonight. And if you don't have Christ, you're the poorest of the poor. You can have the greatest possessions this world has ever dreamed of, and yet be poverty-stricken if you don't have my Savior. Is it well with you? Is it well with your soul? Oh, what poverty there is in this poor world today. I know there's genuine poverty in many parts of the world, but here in this land of plenty, there's poverty in souls. What do you have that's lasting? What do you have that is for eternity? I was thinking of the plight of souls. When I read the question today, is it well with thee? I thought of the awful plight that so many souls find themselves in. They come to face eternity, and they have no Savior. And they leave this world and all that they have possessed behind them. And out into eternity they carry one thing, and one thing only. Their sin, to meet a holy God. Is it not important that we have an interest in your welfare? Could I ask you tonight, friend? Is it well with thee? How well do you face life with its so many problems today? How well do you cope with the problems of this seventh decade of the 20th century? But friend, could you face eternity? How would you face that? Well, I have a more searching question to ask. How would you meet God? Could you meet Him tonight? Could you go into the presence of the God whose piercing eyes will search to the depth of your being? Your sins unforgiven. Your soul unsaved. To meet a God who must punish sin. How is it with your soul? Is it well with thee? Tonight, the woman of 2 Kings chapter 4 had a husband. The question was asked, is it well with thy husband? There are Christians here tonight. There are women here tonight with husbands unsaved. That question will cause their hearts to ache. It will raise in them those burdens that they've carried for years. For unsaved husbands. Maybe there's a man here tonight with a saved wife. And my friend, you're here to hear the gospel. Could I ask you, Is it well with thee? Is it well? Is it well for eternity? The question was asked, is it well with the child?
When I think of the tears that have been shed over the children of believers, when I think of so many who have heard the gospel in childhood, raised under its sound, and tonight they're far away from any place where these lovely hymns would reach them and the gospel of the grace of God would be preached to them. Is it well with the child? There's a dear mother in the state of Ohio with three grown sons. I know well her heart. She and her husband are true Christians. They love the Lord Jesus, and their lives prove it. Those three sons have been such a burden to them that dear woman has been physically ill because of her burden. This summer, in the gospel tent meetings, the youngest of those sons, 25 years of age, got to Christ. And one night, to our great surprise, David, 32 years old, a giant of a man, walked into the tent alone. As he sat and listened to the gospel that night, all the time I preached, I couldn't help but think, I knew David as a little boy. I prayed for him for 22 years. And there he sat listening to the gospel, and God was speaking to him, for the tears rolled down his face. One night at the close of those meetings, that young man came to the door of the tent, and he threw his arms around his mother. He said, "Mother, you'll never have to pray for my soul again. God has saved me. My soul is saved." He turned and he threw his arms around me and he crushed me in his great embrace. He said, "Norm, I know you've prayed for me for years. God has answered your prayers." What rejoicing. Friend, if you were saved, oh, I tell you, it would thrill the heart of the God who loves you. And it would thrill the heart of these believers who have prayed for you and labored over you. Is it well with the child? Is it well? Is it well with thee? These meetings have been convened with an exercise of heart. The Lord Jesus is coming. There isn't a believer in this company tonight with their Bible before them who is not convinced of the fact. He is coming. He is coming. Air and earth and sea are humming. Restrain, creation yearneth, the King of peace to greet. The Lord Jesus is coming. Would it be well with you? If that shout were to be given that will call away the blood-bought souls who have trusted Christ, the redeemed of this world who have turned to the Savior for salvation, if they were raptured to meet Him in the air, would you go with them? Is it well with your soul? In view of those terrible days that are coming, in view of the judgment of God and the descending Lord in majesty and power, friend, let me ask you tonight, is it well with you? Is it well? The plight of the soul that knows not the Savior means to be shut out of heaven because of your sins. It means to be lost and lost forever. I was to come home for a funeral not too long ago, but the original plan was for a wedding. I had been asked long before to marry a young couple. I came home not for that wedding, but as I said, to take a funeral. The funeral of a 17-year-old boy who had sat in a gospel meeting the Sunday night before. And he was gone. He was to have stood up in that wedding party. 2 days before I preached his funeral, and hundreds gathered, for he was a popular young man in his high school, a great athlete, well-liked. And I stood before that crowd and with an aching heart. I could not make a mention of dear Lewis. I couldn't tell them anything about his soul. In a moment, he had gone into eternity.
And oh friend, I'm afraid it was not well. It was not well with his soul. Hugh Spafford sat down in his study in the city of Chicago. He had just received a cablegram with the news, saved alone. It was from his wife. The French liner Le Havre had gone down in the Atlantic. His three girls had gone down with it. His wife had despaired. Sitting in his study alone, he lifted his pen. And he composed the words that we love to sing. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well. It is well, my soul. I was saved over 40 years ago in this city of Toronto. I was born here the first time, and I was born here the second time. There isn't a day goes by in my little experience that I don't put my head on my pillow and thank God, it is well with my soul. I had a dear uncle who died not too long ago. I often wondered if he knew the Savior. The arrangements that he left behind him were that that hymn would be sung at his funeral. And he said to his daughter, be sure you sing the third verse. And they sang, my sins. Oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sins, not in part, but the whole, were nailed to his cross. And I bear them no more. Praise the Lord. It is well with my soul. The pardon of the soul. Friend, you could be saved tonight. You could trust that Savior who hung on the cross, who shed freely his blood that you might be cleansed from all your sins. You could have your soul saved, not by your efforts, but by the mighty work of the Savior. And we invite you tonight to trust that Savior for yourself. We urge you to look away from every effort of your own to the Savior who cried, it is finished. Trust in Him alone, and your soul